I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays on WYAB 103.9, offering you a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there or hope to be at some point, and this is your spot for weekdays 9 to 11. Let's just go ahead and get into this today. I'm sitting here kind of getting my notes together for the show. A lot of different zigzagging topics today, so I'm trying to figure out where to start. I'll start off with my quote of the day. Through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves. But deep down, below the surface of the average conscience, a still, small voice says to us, something is out of tune. This is Carl Jung. And I think we've lost touch with that little small voice that tells us something isn't quite right as we live in the bizarre world we live in, where people accept a rising all-time high stock market, where we believe in political promises from two major party candidates who not known to be the most truthful people out there. I think we've lost touch with this little voice. I've always kind of wondered about that. You know, you see people who justify things in their lives, really, really pretty blatantly bad, wrong things, whether it's some kind of a scam and they'll tell you why they were doing it, or they'll work for a company doing something that is really against the interest even of their own clients, and they somehow justify it. I've always kind of wondered, in the dark of night, because this is how I operate. In the dark of night, do these people ever just lay awake just going, what am I doing? This is so gross. I've been in situations like that. I dated a woman one time. Back in my 20s, back when you're supposed to make your biggest mistakes, I dated this woman one time. It was a bad relationship. It really was. My parents weren't fond of this girl. She was so cute, though. They tried to kind of warn me, you're not going to tell my 22, 23-year-old self that this was not a good relationship. I found myself paying for her apartment and just all kinds of stuff. It was a bad thing, but I knew it. I knew. I resisted it. My ego let me tell everybody else, no, this is great. You don't understand. You don't know her like I know her. We're all in love. But I would lay there at night and go, What am I doing? There is that small voice inside of us that tells us, something here, not quite right. But I think a lot of people are tuning that voice out, particularly when it comes to politics, because a lot of people are accepting a lot of things that just are not true these days. I'm always looking for signs of when I know I am officially old. I have been pretty hip, I would say. If you go to the gym with me, if you were to get into my headset, you're going to hear some pretty hard rock music, some alternative stuff, some Skillet, some Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, I consider myself still hip, but I'm always looking for signs of how out of touch I am. A lot of times that comes when I see something like Grammy Awards nominations and I recognize two of the names. And I saw this story and heard about this. My son actually told me about it. Business Insider reported Wednesday that the popularity of McDonald's $6 Travis Scott branded Cactus Jack limited edition value meal has led to restaurants selling more burgers than they can stock, with some even running out of burgers as hungry rap fans show up in droves. And my son told me about this when I was up in Oxford. I've never even heard the name Travis Scott before in my entire life, but the guy is apparently so popular that he has sold McDonald's out of burgers, which is saying something. The volume that McDonald's does is pretty impressive on its own, but apparently this guy is so popular, and I've never even heard of him. This is when you've crossed some level of Rubicon. Maybe it's because my kids are out of the house, and so I don't hear the names bandied about. I mean, we would talk about music. My My kids and I have kind of bonded about over music. That was one of our things. We would go to concerts. I don't know if you're familiar with the band 21 Pilots. It's just two guys. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant music from two musicians. Fantastic drummer, too. But we've really bonded over all kinds of music. Went and saw Panic at the Disco. If you ever get a chance to see Panic at the Disco, great show. I took my kids to one concert, and this is when I really kind of knew I was old. I took my kids to a concert over in Baton Rouge at a water park. We went to go see Panic at the Disco, and I was kind of excited to see them. I like the music, too. They do an incredible cover. If you like the Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody, which most people do, if you do not like the Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody, you are not human, my friend. Panic at the Disco does a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody that is just out of this world. One of the things that put them on the map. But we went to this concert, and so I go in with my kids. It's an outdoor festival. Everybody's drinking beer. We drive in from Jackson. We're just at the concert for that night, and we're driving back, and we get into this festival, and there's all these people, kind of a summertime show, what I grew up on. I went to every concert and every outdoor festival I could find when I was a kid, and I certainly would take the beer bong out. And I mean, I had a big time when I went out to any kind of outdoor concerts. And then suddenly I realized there were five kids. There's four kids. I took four kids. I have twins, boy and girl, and they each took a friend. And so the five of us went over to this concert. And they all stood about 20 feet in front of me, and I was this lone guy standing behind them. I'm looking at all these people having a great time out there, and I realized, oh, my God, I'm the dad. I am no longer one of the partiers, one of the crowd, one of the people out here celebrating and just letting loose. I was the dad, the driver. I think that was my first smack in the face that I had crossed some level that I really had been kind of resistant to. I still consider myself a rock and roller. I didn't know that I'd become an old man dad. But anyway, never heard of Travis Scott, but apparently the guy has set the world on fire at McDonald's, and I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Doesn't look like a brain trust, but who knows? Who knows? But take a quick break. We're going to get back. I have a Super V report. We're talking about the Super V economic recovery here in the United States. This is where I say, I'm going to reread my quote from the beginning of the show. This is Carl Jung. He said, through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves, but deep down below the surface of the average conscience, a still, small voice says to us, something is out of tune. I am watching as people buy into the idea that the United States is somehow experiencing an economic boom right now. What Donald Trump calls a super V. We went down, but we're taking off like a rocket ship now. Well, the small voice, the small voice should be at a loud scream right now saying something about that narrative is out of tune. I'll get to the numbers when we come back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. I saw an article yesterday that said that Tate Reeves' approval rating of how he's handled coronavirus has gone down substantially, maybe down 16 points, maybe more than that. I don't have the article pulled up in front of me. And it was from, I think, April until now. Obviously, things have shifted. It was interesting in the story. There's part of the reason that his approval rating has gone down is both from those people who think he did too much and for those people who think he did too little. I think probably most governors outside of those who maybe just spared their state's economies, I think there were maybe six states that kind of stuck to their guns and said, look, you know, we'll deal with this, business as usual. Most governors have lost some approval rating on this thing. But I also saw yesterday the story there was a crane accident. Did you hear about this? There was a crane accident somewhere. 24 people I believe it was 20 plus people were injured in this crane accident. And I immediately thought, well, that's it. We can't have cranes anymore. I mean, that's just one crane incident. 22 people injured. Now, it turns out they were actually injured as they were fleeing. Maybe some level of collapse or the accident itself. So maybe there shouldn't be any more fleeing when there's danger around. I'm trying to kind of walk out, you know, use the logic that we've been peppered with about these lockdowns, which is the government should do whatever it has to do. It doesn't matter how many people it plunges into poverty. I saw the stories this morning that I think it was DeKeither Stamps on the city council in Jackson said the reason that violence and murders are up in the city of Jackson is because of a lot of the consequences of the COVID lockdowns, people sick of each other, and the economic stress of what's been created here. And yet this does not deter Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci, and I've got stuff on Redfield too, the CDC director. Doesn't stop any of them. The suicides are up. I talked yesterday about the suicide hotlines. They're talking about this huge increase. They're having in incoming calls. Nobody cares about all that. So if we're going to use that logic that the consequences be damned, I mean, shouldn't the government outlaw cranes if one crane accident can cause 22 injuries? Come on. We can't have cranes anymore. They're obviously a threat to us all. I also thought about this yesterday, and I thought about it before, and I want to bring back something I talked about at length in a show a long time ago, but, you know, you get new listeners and people miss a show. It's interesting to me. Let's compare the deaths. You know, I was very critical yesterday of the medical establishment. I've been very critical of Thomas Dobbs, wondering why his reaction to COVID is so intense, yet he's ignored the obesity problem. Well, I won't say he's ignored it, but we certainly haven't had any press conferences about obesity and diabetes in Mississippi, which is killing and hospitalizing way more people than COVID year after year after year. I mean, this is you set your watch by the number of people that are getting diabetes in this state. But what about cigarettes? They find this interesting. Okay, so far right now, supposedly we have had 2,756 deaths from coronavirus. I believe these are up to and including yesterday. So 2,756 Mississippi deaths to coronavirus. Each and every year in Mississippi, 5,400 adults die from smoking. Now, if the government is there to pull out all the stops, to close churches, to close businesses, to stop parties, to close schools, all these things, to save us from a disease that's only killed 2,700 when tobacco kills each and every year. So these aren't even apples to apples. I mean, these are every year. Over the last 5 years, almost 30,000 people have died from cigarette smoking in Mississippi. So why doesn't Thomas Dobbs stamp his foot and immediately outlaw cigarettes in Mississippi? I mean, if you don't have the freedom to go to school or the freedom to go to church or the freedom to open your restaurant or the freedom to serve as many people in your restaurant as you're capable of serving because of the threat of death, why should we have the privilege of smoking? Now, I'm a libertarian. I don't think we should outlaw smoking. I think people have every right to make every decision, good and bad, in their life. That's what the United States is supposed to be about. I'm not making the case for getting rid of cigarettes. I'm calling out the oddness of the draconian policies that are rolled out to a disease that is not near as deadly, doesn't cause near as much sickness or hospitalization as cigarette smoking, yet nobody's talking about cigarette smoking. Thomas Dobbs has not done any press conferences about cigarette smoking. Aren't these cigarette smokers and lung cancer patients, aren't they overwhelming our hospital system? Because there's more of them than there are COVID hospitalizations. But they don't talk about it. And here's that dirty little secret. As I say, I did a pretty good chunk of a show on this because this is very important to understand why coronavirus, they can take all these Herculean steps, take away so many of our freedoms and our liberties for coronavirus, but they won't touch something like cigarette smoking, which is a direct causal thing, right? We know. We kind of know the deal on that. Well, states make money off of tobacco sales. And so your life is very valuable to health authorities when it comes to coronavirus, not so much when it comes to tobacco, because there's another side of the ledger for them. There's a lot of money involved in people smoking. As a matter of fact, and I did this story a while back, here's how the tobacco settlements worked. When they did the big suing of the tobacco companies, they got these big awards from cigarette companies. Now, I should have pulled this story back up and gotten better into the details, but I'll give you the general gist of it. Essentially, what they did was the tobacco company said, okay, we're going to pay you X number of dollars in these states over a period of time. And the states couldn't wait to get their money piecemeal here or there. What they did instead was they went out and they sold bonds. It's kind of like one of these things. You see these commercials? If you've got an annuity, if you've got a settlement but you need cash fast, call. You know, when you get, say you have some kind of a settlement out there and it's paying you $1 million over 10 years, they'll give you $450,000 today, and then they just take over the annuity and they collect the $10 million over 10 years. That's essentially what a lot of states did. They went out and floated bonds so they could get that fat cash in now. The problem is those bonds that they did are tied to revenue from cigarette smoking. In order to service those bonds, they have to make sure that people keep smoking. It's one of the reasons, the reason I brought this story up originally was because of the attack on vaping. And I told you, it's a scam. There were, what, 40 kids, young adults, that had some kind of a respiratory problem with vaping. Of course, now we kind of wonder, I wonder if it was coronavirus. We don't know. But they made a big deal about these 40 cases of people having lung issues and some of them dying. And I pointed out on the show, well, 500,000 people a year die from cigarette smokes. You're focusing on the 40, and they were trying to demonize vaping. So, oh, we got to ban vaping. We got to ban flavors. We've got to stop this industry. Look at this. We've got 40 victims of vaping. When there's 500,000 victims every year of tobacco, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I started looking around, and this is what I found, is that these states actually, not only, you know, a lot of people say, well, they take in tax revenue. Well, that's true, too. But they actually get money from the tobacco companies. I mean, they need people to smoke to enable to continue the payouts from these tobacco settlements. My point being, your life is very valuable to your health authorities and to Thomas Dobbs and to everybody else, unless it's weighed against a buck. See, coronavirus is genius, really, because coronavirus, the money is made on the disease itself. Money's made in the bailouts. The money's made in the emergency spending. There's just money floating all around. The money's made at the hospital level, as we've talked about, for $13,000 for a COVID case, $39,000 for somebody being on a ventilator. But nobody cares about the cigarette victims. And this is one thing we should always kind of look back on. Every time this health hysteria where these authorities, whether it's federal or local or state or whatever, they act like they just love us so much, they're going to pull out all the stops, even if it's not popular. They'll say these things like, well, we know a mask is a pain. I don't like to wear one either, but blah, 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 blah. We just want to save you because we love you. And you're just too stupid. The general public is dumb as a box of rocks. And if we don't tell you and force you to do things, you'd never do it on your own because you're just too dumb. So our authorities tell us out of this intense love they have for us, they must impose these draconian measures. Yet when cigarettes or any other product, but cigarettes is the most glaring example. When they're actually bringing in revenue from the cigarettes, it's a, shh, don't mention that. Oh, they'll come out and tell you, hey, smoking's bad for you. You shouldn't smoke. One of the most successful things that I've seen people get off of cigarettes is using vaping, but they tried to attack that too. But that's something to always kind of keep in the back of your mind. Anytime you hear health authorities tell you how much they love you, again, they're not addressing diabetes through any news conferences as Mississippi becomes ground zero for obesity and diabetes. But the cigarettes, that just doesn't really move the needle. Twice the number of deaths, constant hospitalizations, year in, year out, year in, year out. But they don't do anything about it. And what they'll tell you is, here's the funny thing. If you were to ask somebody like Tate Reeves, particularly probably a Republican, they know the game. If they've been in the legislature and as much as Tate Reeves has been around, he understands the flow of the tobacco money into state coffers. Matter of fact, if we had just a tremendous drop in cigarette smoking here, I'm not sure exactly what the status of, you know, Mississippi and the tobacco is. I'm talking of a national program. This is what happened nationally. They sold these bonds and they need to repay the bonds with smokers. I mean, you know, with tobacco revenue. They don't want tobacco revenue to go down because it could hurt their bond and they may have to go to their state budgets to pay back the money that they took up front. But if you ask people who've been around the government for a long time, people like Tate Reeves, and I'm not singling him out, anybody else, they know this scam is going on. You could ask him, say, well, why don't you outlaw tobacco? Why don't you outlaw cigarettes? Again, as a libertarian, I'm not for that. Fewer laws are better. People can make stupid decisions. You're free to make good decisions and bad decisions in your life in America. At least that's how it's supposed to be. But if you were to ask a Republican, they would tell you, well, it's freedom of choice. People have the freedom to smoke. We're not going to impinge on. We don't think it's a good idea, but if you decide to smoke, we think you should have the freedom to do it. Yet it's kind of funny in the face of closing churches, forcing businesses to go down to 50% occupancy or close outright, forcing them into takeout. The idea of personal freedom kind of went out the window when it came to coronavirus, didn't it? It's all lies. It's basically what I'm going to underscore this with. They love us when it's convenient. They take away our rights when they say it's necessary. But when it comes to life and death, when it comes to tobacco sales, cigarette deaths, they look the other way because there's money flowing in. That shows the extent of their love for us. All right, when I come back, I want to get into this. I call it the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan. But Trump has labeled our economy the Super V. We had a little bit of a dip there, but he says it's a rocket ship taking off for the stars in the Super V recovery. So I've got numbers on that. I will get to it when I come back. Stay with me. All night
with the King. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I do podcast this show. If you want to get a podcast, you can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening to the podcast, you didn't hear the news break that just came, or they had another one of our illustrious intelligence agencies coming out and telling us the Russians are still trying to influence our elections. I don't know if you heard him. He said, it is our estimation that the Russians are still attempting to influence our elections. I mean, they're kind of phoning it in at this point. I find that a little odd. A couple of points. One is, next time you cheer for these huge monster national defense budgets, realize you're paying these intelligence agencies just buckets of money. In some cases, the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon have said, wow, we didn't even ask for this much money. But a lot of this money is going to these corrupt organizations. And look, the Russians probably are trying to interfere in our election. I mean, I would if I were them. The United States is kind of running the world. I would imagine if you're a major country, you might want some input on who runs the place. The same way that Colombia does it to Peru. I mean, every country does this stuff, but they're still pushing this Russia hysteria. The thing that really cracks me up is that we play the victim here, right? Russia, oh, they're trying to influence our elections. 2 days ago on Fox and Friends, Donald Trump said out loud to Brian Kilmeade, the war whore, warmonger, on Fox and Friends every morning, Donald Trump said, yeah, I wanted to take Assad out, which I think probably means they were going to assassinate the sitting president of Syria. And we just say it out in the open, right on Fox and Friends in the morning. The president of the United States says, yeah, I wanted to just take him out. Now, unless he meant he wanted to take him out for a beer, take him out for dinner, it probably means that the American government was planning on, I don't know, kind of interfering in Syria's elections. We are worried about Russia placing Facebook ads, but we pretend it's not at all the same when we topple government after government after government through either of these color revolutions we fund, which actually overthrows a government. We're not talking about America taking out Facebook ads. No, we go in sometimes with boots on the ground to switch another country's government. But here we're victims because Russia took out some Facebook ads. Oh my gosh, we're just so innocent. Oh, it's just absolutely stunning. In the Super V report, look, I'm a cheerleader for the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy could be fantastic if we got back to our capitalist roots, but we will not. And there is not a candidate in sight in the two major parties that has any intention of returning us to any level of capitalism, which is the only thing that will save us. We have Donald Trump or we have Joe Biden, and both of them will do for the economy and whatever is in their best interest. Donald Trump is selling us on the Super V that we're on a rocket ship. The next year is going to be, I mean, he says this over and over, next year is going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure what he bases that on. As of today, 860,000 new unemployed in the past week. That is four times before the COVID hit. That is four times a typical jobless report. Four times. And we are, what, 26 weeks into coronavirus? And this is still happening? 860,000. But in today's bizarro world, that's good news because it's under a million. This is the Super V. This is the rocket ship we are on right now. 860,000 Americans lost their jobs. Four times what would be normal prior to COVID. But it somehow is twisted as good news. As of September 10th, there were 29.6 million people on unemployment, making the real unemployment rate, if you just take the number of working-aged Americans in the workforce and divide it into the number of people who are collecting unemployment, you come up with 18%. Yet we're told it's 8.9% is what the unemployment rate is. I mean, this is just, I go back to my opening quote of the day, through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves, but deep below the surface of the average conscience is still small voice that says to us, something is out of tune, and something is out of tune on this recovery narrative. Got a caller on line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Oh, hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You know, I think it's funny that they come up with this, the Russians are meddling in our elections because they bought a couple Facebook ads. Mike Bloomberg spent $500 million on his campaign and couldn't get nowhere.
Right. Yeah, Hillary Clinton spent $1 billion and she couldn't get into office. Yeah, and people compared Russians buying these Facebook ads and Google ads last time. I don't think it topped $100,000 between both those efforts, but it was compared to a 9/11 style event here in the United States.
Exactly, exactly. Another thing that I wanted to mention was the Aldous Huxley thing. The reason I sent you that is I thought it would be great fodder for your Wednesday second hour show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's one of those things that kind of shows you there's nothing new under the sun, that this stuff has been going on for forever.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. And, you know, he did that speech in 1962, and he wrote the book Brave New World in 1929.
Yeah. absolutely amazing. Like you said, I think he said in an email, was it a prognostication or was it actually a blueprint?
Exactly, and I think it was the latter.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, buddy, thank you. That's all I got. You have a great day.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I'm going to parse through this. He sent me an interview with Aldous Huxley, and it really is pretty fascinating when you look at these old grainy black and white interviews of people, and they're saying things that we're seeing right now, and you just go, oh my gosh, was the person a genius, or were they laying out the path that we are on? Now, a lot of it, you know, you can see coming down the pike as policies are rolled out. But anyway, back to the Super V. The Fed met yesterday. The Federal Reserve met yesterday, which is a shame. You know, really, why does the coronavirus only cancel the worthwhile events? You know, like church and concerts, you know, things where people friendly, gatherings where people get together and have a good time. No, we can't have those, but for some reason the Federal Reserve gets to keep on meeting. But they said they are leaving interest rates at zero for two more years at least. Two more years. Now, that does not fit into the idea of a Super V recovery, that we're going to be really back to running and gunning next year or in the third quarter or the fourth quarter of this year. If the Federal Reserve has said they're going to have to continue to inject monetary heroin into the U.S. economy, and we will have the same result as a person who injects literal heroin into their veins over and over again, year after year, what happens to the underlying health of the person who continues to inject heroin into their body day after day, year after year? Their health begins to fail, and they ultimately die. When you hear the Federal Reserve say they're going to keep interest rates at zero and continue to print up massive amounts of money, understand that is monetary heroin, and it is killing the country. It also does not portend this idea that we are somehow getting back to full employment, back to where we need to be. I watched a little bit of the Fed stuff yesterday. I won't bore you with it. The Fed speak is something very frustrating. I've been following it for 20 years to listen to the Federal Reserve say the things they say. A very mealy mouth, very technical jargon, but the bottom line is what the Federal Reserve is saying by telling you that they're going to keep interest rates at zero for the next 2 years is this economy right now is toast. We have so far disrupted it, distorted it, destroyed it, that there is no longer any way that it can stand on its own 2 feet without artificial stimulation. And I've got some more on that today. Trump sent out some tweets that I got to tell you were pretty surprising to me. And I've wondered, the other side of this thing is, too, markets are down a little bit today. You want to talk about top of market activity. There was a IPO yesterday, an initial public offering. A company went public on the stock exchange, a company called Snowflake. I believe it's a software company. I really wasn't very familiar with it until I saw the IPO story. I believe the IPO yesterday doubled. In one day, it doubled. The revenues, or the market cap, meaning the value of this company, Snowflake, earlier this year was $3 billion. After the IPO, it was $60 billion. Now, no, their sales didn't go up 20 times. Their revenues didn't go up 20 times. Their profits didn't go up 20 times. But by sheer market manipulation and their stock price, the value of the company went up by over 20 times. This is called speculation, and this will not end well. But the Fed will continue to support this stuff. And here is my big question. We all feel that Donald Trump is against all of these, you know, up against all of these hardcore adversaries, the deep state, the military-industrial complex, all of the globalists. So my question is, why is the Fed, who is a globalist corporate, you know, entity, why is the Fed supporting the economy under Donald Trump? If they wanted to see Donald Trump lose in 2020, it is so simple. Because, look, the main reason for falling unemployment under Donald Trump is not Donald Trump. It's the same reason that we had falling unemployment under Barack Obama. Barack Obama inherited around 10% unemployment. And it steadily trended down, and then just continued its the same trend into the Trump administration. Is Trump better for the economy than many other candidates? Sure. He reduces regulations. He'll cut some taxes. I think he could be a net positive. If we were a capitalist country anymore, then Donald Trump would have some effect. But the reason for the so-called, air quotes here in the studio, record unemployment during Trump's last year, and the trending unemployment down during Trump's term, is the Federal Reserve. It has nothing to do with Trump, or very little to do with Donald Trump. It has much more to do with the Federal Reserve that was handing out essentially free money for the first 3 years of Donald Trump's administration, really, actually now for 4 years of the Trump administration. The main reason for the rising stock market under Donald Trump had very, very little to do with Donald Trump. It had to do with the Federal Reserve that was loaning some of the biggest corporations out there money at 0% interest rates. They're essentially getting free money to go in and buy back their own stock and do other kind of financial manipulations. So my question is, why is the Fed helping Donald Trump prop up the stock market and prop up the economy? If Donald Trump's against all of these, up against all these headwinds, and all of these people want to see him out, and look, it does seem like there's a lot of evidence to that. Media is not real fond of him. This gets back to my idea. I believe there's a setup in 2020. I think the Democrats are trying to throw this thing. I've got some stuff about it. I saw part of Joe Biden's press conference yesterday. You cannot look at that. He was definitely on something yesterday, I believe. His eyes were kind of bugged out. You know what he looked like? He looked like the old man on, I think it was Poltergeist. Is that the one where they had the old man with white hair, had the big bug eyes, and he was kind of real creepy? That's what Joe Biden looked like yesterday. His skin was kind of translucent. He was starting to look like a skeleton. His eyes were bugged out, and I think his eyes might have been pretty dilated, too. It's the first time I'd seen him like that, and I think it's probably pretty likely that they're... No, not likely. It's probable that every time they have to put him out in public, they got to drug him up with something, get that brain moving at least for a couple of hours. I bet he gets a big fat nap after those things. He shuffled off the stage, too. After he gave this little press conference in front of about 8 people, he kind of shuffled off. I mean, why is that what the Democrats are putting up against Donald Trump? I'm telling you, I think they are setting this thing up to hand Donald Trump re-election in 2020. And then they are going to pull the plug on this thing and blame capitalism going forward. And their socialism's not going to come through Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's not going to come through Bernie Sanders. That's not popular enough, I don't think. I think what they need to do is they need to pull the plug and get more Americans desperate. I don't know, kind of like what we've done with coronavirus, where we've got 29.6 million people on unemployment. We got an 18% unemployment rate. 860,000 people lost their jobs this week. I think the Democrats are taking a dive so that they can lay this around Donald Trump's neck and blame capitalism, and that's how we're going to get socialism. It's not going to be through a Biden presidency. It's going to be as a result of pinning an economic collapse on Donald Trump. Now, is it Donald Trump's fault? No, it is not. This has been in the works for decades. Decades and decades has led us here, but Donald Trump has participated in it. He has allowed it. He has encouraged the Federal Reserve to continue to destroy the economy with low to zero to negative interest rates. He's extolled the virtue of just the stock market. He's allowed the debt to balloon. I think they've duped him, to be honest with you. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Because I think every day that goes by when I see Joe Biden in public, when I see some of the policies that are coming out of that side of things, when I see their endorsement for the riots or their acquiescence to the people that are rioting, when I see some of the comments, when I see some of the defund the police, all of that says they are trying their hardest to lose this election. And there's a reason for that.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
The media had a new thing this morning that really cracked me up. They used the term war of words between Donald Trump and the CDC director, this Redfield character. Trump disagrees with him on the timing of the vaccine. The CDC guy says it's middle part of next year. Trump says there's no way he's got that wrong. I can guarantee you it's going to be in the next couple of months. It's back and forth. It's whatever. I mean, he said, I think he's got his numbers wrong. Trump said, I think he's got his numbers wrong. They cast it as this war of words in a stunning rebuke, all of these hyperbolic statements. But I wanted to play something real quick. I could tuck it in here. This is this Redfield character at the CDC either yesterday or day before yesterday when he was asked about masks. You might have already heard this, but it prompts a question.
I'm not going to comment directly about the president, but I am going to comment as the CDC director that face masks, these face masks, are the most important, powerful public health tool we have. And I will continue to appeal for all Americans, all individuals in our country, to embrace these face coverings. I've said it. If we did it for 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, we'd bring this pandemic under control.
First of all, have we not already done it for 6, 8, 12 weeks? And according to him, this pandemic is still not under control. Death numbers going down, hospitalizations going way down, but still it's not under control. We've been doing it for months. But he says just 6, 8, 12 weeks more, and definitely, oh, at that point, definitely we'll get it under control. That's the first thing I would ask him.
These actually, we have clear scientific evidence. They work, and they are our best defense. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine. Because
now, first of all, I thought the masks were protect other people. Are we being the people who wear masks being selfish? I thought we were all in this together, and the reason for wearing masks was not to protect ourselves, but it was to protect other people. Now, when he talks about the vaccine, I might agree with him because maybe he knows what we don't know, which is this vaccine is going to be a complete scam. I mean, the bar on this thing is 50% efficacy on it. And I doubt they can even prove that when it finally rolls out. But he may be right. The vaccine may be so worthless that even a mask, which is basically worthless, is better than that.
The immunogenicity may be 70%. And if I don't get an immune response, the vaccine is not going to protect me. This face mask will. So I do want to keep asking the American public to take the responsibility, particularly the 18 to 25-year-olds, where we're seeing the outbreak in America continue to go like this, because we haven't got the acceptance, the personal responsibility that we need for all Americans to embrace this face mask.
There you go. There's your CDC Redfield. Now, this is just interesting. Let me see if I've got a date on this clip. This was 6 months ago. And for a change, somebody in a congressional hearing gave a very succinct answer. He was asked about face masks for healthy people. You just heard him say, all of these young kids, they definitely need to wear these masks, right? These young, healthy, college age and high school age kids, definitely. 18, 25, oh, they definitely need to wear the mask. This is what he said 6 months ago.
Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
And is there a way? Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
And is there a way? Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
And is there a way? Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
Gee, I wonder why some people question the efficacy and the ridiculous policies around these statewide mask mandates. And Joe Biden wants to make it national. There he is. Whoa, what a difference 6 months makes, huh?
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Are there any other sane people out in the world right now? Maybe this is the Matrix. I'm looking out the window. Oh, there's a car. For a second there, I didn't see anybody out there on Highway 49. I'm beginning to believe that I am living in some kind of an alternate universe. The stock markets are what have got me on this little bit of a tear. As I said, we had 860,000 new jobless claims 26 weeks into coronavirus. The narrative out there is we're roaring back. The market was down about 250, 300 points earlier today. It's now up 10 points. Let me just make sure I have this right. Trump has been really touting the stock market as the indication that we are in this super V. And listen, the stock market has definitely done a V. There's no doubt about that. Now, is this based on the economic situation in the United States that we are all the stock market is just this rising tide that's lifting all boats? Well, it left 860,000 boats behind last week when we had 860,000 new jobless claims. But let's just look at the backdrop of the United States right now. We're still not open. Some states are still got pretty substantial lockdowns. I mean, New York City, don't know if anybody's been there recently, pretty big place. Lots of people. Their restaurants are still at 25%. Yelp reported that 60%, I think it's around 96,000 small businesses listed on Yelp, are gone for good. They went from temporary shutdowns back in March to permanent closures. 96,000 small businesses gone. The Federal Reserve obviously sees we are incredibly weak because they've said, well, they're leaving interest rates at zero for 2 years. 2 years. Just as an aside, this has never been tried in the United States before. I'm not going to get into Fed policy and interest rates and all this. I'd kind of like to because people have got to understand that. But I won't. But they don't see any recovery coming right now. We have got riots in the streets. We have got fires raging on the West Coast. We have got an election coming up that is right now undecided. And either way it goes is almost assuredly more violence in the streets, more division, more aggression between people. And a probably contested election that could take weeks, if not months, to determine the winner of it. This is the backdrop for one of the greatest stock market rises in the history of the United States. Please explain. Now, I know what it is, really. I mean, it's the Federal Reserve. It's the Federal Reserve, and Wall Street is sloshing around in the trillions of dollars of bailout money that has been flowing their way. They're sloshing in this money. Retail sales took off. Why did retail sales take off? Because the United States is strong and resilient, and we had a robust economy heading into this coronavirus, and we're just getting back to business? No, absolutely not. They were paying people $600 extra a week to stay home. There's still many states paying people $300 extra a week to stay home. That's what buoyed retail sales. That's not an economy. That's socialism. Now, I kind of had this down as something to kind of discuss today. I mean, because I know a lot of people will not accept a Joe Biden victory. And I am really curious to know what people will do. Let's just say, and again, I think the Democrats are trying to throw this thing. I think Donald Trump gets elected and they pull the plug on this economy. Because it's gonna pull itself. The powers that be, people at the Federal Reserve, the Wall Street banks, whatever, they'd rather do a controlled implosion that will just hurt us than just allow this thing to get completely out of control. But there's a possibility. Maybe it just gets completely out of control. We may have a dollar crisis at some point. And so I think the Democrats are going to try to lay this around Trump's neck, but they're going to make sure. See, everyone says, well, no, that's ridiculous, Mike. Look at how the Democrats are fighting. Look how the media is fighting Donald Trump. They want to beat him. No, they're just trying to delegitimize him. They're trying to make him as weak as possible going into his second term so that it makes it all that much easier to hang a imploding economy around his neck. And it's going to be blamed on capitalism, but Donald Trump as president, maybe as a private citizen, as a real estate developer, Donald Trump had some capitalistic ideas. As a president, Donald Trump is not a capitalist. He's not a free market guy. He is a negative interest rate, government spending guy. But I wonder if a Joe Biden were to win, or just say that it's four more years from now, and we do have this implosion, and they try to lay capitalism to blame for the economic crisis that's coming. It's already here, just they're masking it with government spending, but it's here, and it's going to accelerate. If in four more years somebody takes over and we get more and more socialism, and we've had more socialism in the last 6 months under Donald Trump than we've had for most of the history of the United States in a condensed period of time. But what will conservative taxpayers do? Are you going to pay taxes into a socialist system? It seems like that's where you would have to choke it off if you can't win at the ballot box. A lot of Republicans have got a lot of socialist ideas, too. A lot of Republicans, I think the majority of Republicans are for single-payer health care. They want socialized medicine. I don't necessarily blame you if you're out there paying $800 a month for health insurance for your family and your deductible is $10,000. Doesn't seem real fair. And for those of us who have been on this planet for a minute or two, we remember back when health insurance cost $300 a month and your deductible was $250. It wasn't that long ago. But I wonder, what will people do when we do have a socialist system even worse than we have right now? Would people just wait around and try to reelect Republicans? How would you fight socialism if socialism came to this United States? Because, see, we're already a pretty socialist country and nobody's done anything. Look at what we've got right now. Because this election, this 2020 election, is being billed as trying to stop socialism. People don't want Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, whatever, to get into office because we've got to stop the radical left socialism, right? Well, let's look at our system as it stands right now throughout Republican and Democrat leadership for the past 50 years. We've got public education. We've got the retirement programs of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We've got a central bank. We've got a huge military taking up a ton of taxpayer cash. Huge militaries are socialist programs. They are publicly funded institutions, and ours is by far and away the largest the planet has ever seen. We've got a quasi-socialized medicine system right now heading to a full socialist or more likely fascist. I don't believe the health insurance companies are going to go away. The pharmaceutical companies aren't going to go away. They're just going to be at the government trough. I'll prove that to you in just a second. We've got corporate subsidies right now. We've got farm subsidies. We've got food stamps. We've got welfare. I could go on and on and on. And then just in the past 6 months, we've seen essentially universal basic income rolled out for unemployed people. Not only do we have unemployed insurance, at least there's some premiums to that. I mean, at least it's a program that does take in some money. The rest of this stuff is just pure transfer from the government to the people. And now we find ourselves with a quarter of all personal income in this country right now comes from the government. We are a quasi-socialist country right now, and nobody's done a thing about it except to continue to vote for R's and D's. Now, the conservatives, I mean, there's a lot of Democrats. If you're listening to the show, you may be thrilled. That may be a victory to you. It's not to me. To a lot of Republicans, you just haven't even noticed, haven't paid attention. You thought you did your duty by voting for an R every time, and yet we still find ourselves with 25% of income coming to the American people from the government. I think one of the problems is Republicans will really harp on about a welfare queen sitting on the couch collecting benefits, and I'm with you. It's a terrible system, but you won't pay attention to the corporate welfare. You won't pay attention to the farm subsidies. You won't pay attention to the ethanol thing. Trump just signed something to try to take our ethanol from 10% to 15% as a payoff to the corn farmers. This is a tweet from Donald Trump yesterday. We will be substantially, all caps here, lowering Medicare premiums and prescription drug prices, bringing them down to levels that were not thought possible. Everything Trump does is something that nobody ever thought possible. Have you noticed that? I didn't think it'd be possible that I'd live in a country in the United States where a quarter of all personal income comes from the federal government, so maybe he's right. Again, I'm going to read you this tweet. This is from Donald Trump yesterday. We will be substantially lowering Medicare premiums and prescription drug prices, bringing them down to levels that were not thought possible. Now, does that mean that medical care is going to be less expensive? No. Does that mean that the cost of each person on Medicare seeking all their treatments is going to come down? No. Does that mean that the prescription drug prices are coming down, that pharmaceutical companies are willingly slashing their prices? No. What does it mean? It means, this. I'm going to go ahead and translate this for you real quick. I'm going to read the tweet again, and then I'm going to translate it for you. The tweet is, we will be substantially lowering Medicare premiums and prescription drug prices, bringing them down to levels that were not thought possible. Here is the translation of that. I will be buying seniors' votes by lowering their premiums and moving the cost to the majority of taxpayers so that I can get reelected. See, they're lowering Medicare premiums to try to buy votes. That will just go into taxpayer-funded. Because the cost of treating these Medicare patients is not going down. Money's coming from somewhere. It's coming from the taxpayer. I mean, a lot of Medicare funds come from taxpayers anyway. Medicare is basically insolvent, as is Medicaid. So while we're battling off socialism in the 2020 election by trying to keep Joe Biden's crazy butt out of the office, it's just sneaking right up on us, right underneath the sheets. Here's another tweet from Donald Trump. I believe this was yesterday. Listen to this. Democrats are, quote, heartless, unquote. They don't want to give, all caps here, stimulus payments to people who desperately need the money and whose fault it was not that the plague came in from China. Now listen to this one. And again, remember, this is our art of the deal master, Donald Trump. Here's what he says next. Go for the much higher numbers, Republicans. It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. Art of the deal, the great negotiator, Donald Trump. He tells Republicans, give the Democrats a bigger number. Let's get this thing done and get some payments into people's hands. Let's transfer more money from the government to individual citizens. Give the Democrats a bigger number. This is Donald Trump's tweet again. Democrats are heartless. They don't want to give stimulus payments to people who desperately need the money and whose fault it was not that the plague came in from China. Go for the much higher number, Republicans. It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. Give them the bigger number. That's socialism. Am I missing something? Like I said, I feel like I'm on a bit of an island, like I'm a different species or something. Donald Trump wants money in the pockets of Americans leading into an election so that he's in better shape to get reelected. And what's funny to me, I talked about this yesterday, Republicans were very upset. A lot of conservatives, so-called, air quotes here in the studio, conservatives were very upset that the Democrats turned down the $1.5 trillion stimulus bill, the bipartisan bill. They said, well, the Democrats are just playing politics. The Republicans not realizing, yeah, what you're doing is you're playing politics. You want the money to go out so that Trump looks better and boosts his chance to get reelected. That's called politics. And you want to do it by sending out $1.5 trillion that we don't have to stimulate an economy that we're on the other side of, out of the other side of everyone's mouth, says is booming. Why do we need stimulus at all if we're in the super V? I mean, this world is on its head. Donald Trump says, go for the much higher number, Republicans. It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. What the hell does that mean? Oh, pay out, again, money we don't have. Print up a bunch more money and send it out to America. This is a Republican president. Am I? He didn't switch parties, did he? Let me check headlines. Go for the much higher numbers, Republicans. It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. What the hell does that mean? If that's the case, why not a $5 trillion bill? How about a $10 trillion bill? What if every American got $50,000? It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. What does that mean? That sounds to me like there's no harm, no foul in printing up endless amounts of money. Why do they take income taxes from us? They can just print it up. pass a $2 trillion bill, say we're going to end the individual income tax, print up $2 trillion, it all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another, according to Donald Trump. Why do we have to pay taxes? Why do you and I have to sacrifice? Why do we send, on average, $9,000 per taxpayer up to Washington, D.C. so that maybe twice this year they can send us back $1,200? Why don't you just let us keep the nine? Seems more efficient. You could even close up the IRS, save a few bucks. This is a Republican president, and this is their chief negotiator, the great deal maker, the art of the deal. Go for the much higher numbers, Republicans. It all comes back to the USA anyway, one way or another. Here's one last one here while I am on this. Here's another tweet from Donald Trump. Yesterday, your Republican conservative president, he says, when I win as your president, will, excuse me, I want to make sure I quote this because I thought the wording was interesting. When we win, I, as your president, will totally forgive all deferred payroll taxes with money from the general fund. I will always, all caps, protect seniors and your Social Security. Exclamation point. Sleepy Joe Biden will do the opposite. He will raise your taxes and destroy our country. When we win, I, as your president, will totally forgive all deferred payroll taxes with money from the general fund. I will always protect seniors and your Social Security. Look, I'm for abolishing the payroll tax. You don't tax something you want to encourage. And what that is a penalty to business owners and to employees for working. So I'm all for abolishing payroll taxes and for people keeping every nickel they can. But is that now, we now have a president that has complete authority to just raise, lower, and forgive taxes? I mean, why do we need a Congress anymore at all? They don't even declare our wars. Not since World War II have they even declared a war, but now the tax policy just comes out of one dude. One guy. And if he's going to forgive a bunch of taxes here in this, I don't know, one single, you know, he signed this executive order to suspend payroll taxes for the rest of this year. I don't know one employer that did that because there's absolutely no clarity. And people don't trust an executive order on payroll taxes. I don't know. Have any of you seen your payroll taxes from your checks disappear and you're making the extra money? I don't know one. I've talked to probably a dozen business owners and they go, no, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm not doing that because that could come back and bite me. And now if you're an employer, you may want to do it because Trump says he is going to wave his magic authoritarian wand and just get rid of those taxes for you. Whoosh, all gone. So we're going to cut those taxes. We're going to pay for the hole that is dug there. And believe me, I hate taxes, so I don't play this we can't afford it game. But at the same time that these taxes are not going to be collected, we're going to give the Democrats the bigger number. This is Trump's plan. Anyway, there's a playbook to this thing, I think. You're going to end up with socialism. It doesn't matter who you vote for in 2020. I hate to tell you. It's coming. It's creeping in. Been creeping in for a while. It's on steroids now, what I just read to you. These are socialist things. Lowering Medicare premiums and prescription drug prices. This is Donald Trump, your Republican president. It means he's just going to shift more of it to government. It means every senior citizen on Medicare and on prescription drug, the Medicare Part D, which the Republicans passed, by the way. This was what really woke me up to the Republican Party. When they did Medicare Part D, I looked around. I went, well, I thought we were the small government party. This is the biggest entitlement since LBJ. Why are we doing this? And then I realized, oh, it's a payoff to the prescription, to the pharmaceutical companies. Eight of the nine sponsors, I think, went to go work for pharma companies within like a year or 2 years after passing Medicare Part D under the Bush administration, led by that, what was that guy's name? Bro? What was his name? Oh, I can't believe I can picture him. I can't think of his name. Who took the guy that led the charge in this thing took a $2 million a year job with the pharma, the lobbying organization for the pharmaceutical company after passing Medicare Part D. So we're shifting more of Medicare premiums to the government, socialist, We're going to reduce prescription drug prices, not because they're going to go lower, but we're going to shift more of that to the government. That's socialist. We want to give the Democrats a higher number for this new, air quotes here in the studio, stimulus bill. That's socialist. And then we're going to give away these, we're just going to pay for the payroll taxes out of the general fund and protect seniors and Social Security, which is a socialist program. Anyway, got to take a break, but you can call me and tell me what I'm missing. Because what I see is socialist.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I love it when I get some answers from listeners. I had somebody call during the break, and they said that the military actually has suspended collecting payroll taxes. I said that every employer that I've spoken to, and I haven't spoken to all of them, some people may be not collecting payroll taxes right now after Trump's executive order, but everyone that I've talked to, they've made no changes because they were so confused by it. They didn't know if they were going to have to pay it back. They didn't know if it was a tax holiday for the rest of the year, so they just kept on collecting. I mean, they didn't make any changes at all, but apparently had somebody call up and say they've got a husband in the military, and the military is not collecting payroll taxes now, but as of right now, it's essentially a loan. They're loaning you your own money. So they don't collect payroll taxes for this year, but then starting next year, they'll start to take more money out of your check to repay the money that they fronted you this year. I mean, what a mess. What a mess we have got going on. Now, this is Trump in his tweet saying that he is going to wave his magic wand and forgive all this. I don't know. I guess Congress doesn't weigh in on that. Tax policy is now set by one dude. I mean, you may like that. Look, I think if I had my choice between one dude setting tax policy between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, I'd pick Donald Trump. But the problem is that we don't always get our way. Sometimes a Joe Biden does get into office. You really want one dude in the White House just sitting on the pot someday going, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I think I'm going to raise taxes a little bit. I was looking at some of the numbers today, some of my advisors. We got some projects we want to do. I think I'm going to raise tax rates, or I'm going to raise payroll taxes, or I'm going to do this or that. I mean, at the whim of one person. Holy cow. I got to tell you, I am seeing a lot of people ignore a lot of stuff right now. And I understand. I'm scared of the left taking power in this country like anybody else. But the alternative is looking worse and worse. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If anybody wants to call and explain to me why I'm wrong that Donald Trump is not rolling out socialism right underneath our noses while we fight off the socialists, as I talk about him shifting more of the cost to the government for Medicare and prescription drugs, while he wants the Democrats, wants the Republicans to give the Democrats a higher number in the new bailout bill, the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan. Meanwhile, I just going to continue to mention it. The Fed is still pumping out trillions of dollars. Right now, they have slowed a little bit in some of their bond buying because here's what happens. The Federal Reserve says they're going to go out. I'm trying to do this without getting wonky about it. Federal Reserve says they're going to go out and buy all these bonds. And so people buy bonds thinking, well, I can always sell them. I mean, the Fed's buying them too, so there'll be a demand for them, so I won't lose any money. So people start buying these bonds too. And the Federal Reserve noticed that a bunch of people were buying a bunch of these different bonds, and they said, okay, well, we don't really need to right now. So people are still buying them, realizing that, well, if anything happens, the Fed will step in and start buying again. So they've actually slowed down a little bit. They did announce, though, I think yesterday at the Fed meeting, that they were going to continue to buy $120 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. You want to know why the real estate market is just going crazy right now? Well, one, it's the artificially low interest rates, which means everybody who's buying a house and getting that great interest rate, you're also paying probably 10 or 15 or 20% more than the house is actually worth. I don't want to poop on the parade, but when interest rates go down, prices of homes go up. So it's kind of a wash, but anyway, it makes everybody feel good to get that low interest rate. They are stunning. I mean, people are closing 30-year mortgages. I've heard it. 2.81, and that may have been high. That was a couple of weeks ago. Now they may be down in the lower twos closing homes. The Fed is still out there pumping money into this thing. So Wall Street's just awash in what is not. It's not technically taxpayer cash because they just print it up and send it out. But it is backstopped by you and by me. We're the collateral for all of this money printing that's going on right now. And again, conservatives, it seems to me, are completely asleep at the wheel. I don't know anybody outside of someone like Thomas Massey or Rand Paul who's even talking about the spending. Hell, Thomas Massey tried to make them vote on the first stimulus bill. Trump wanted him drummed out of the Republican Party. Said, get rid of this loser. He's a grandstander. Because he was the one guy in Congress that said, no, the Constitution says we have to vote on these big bills. We have to come to Congress and vote and do our jobs. Thomas Massey said, if the bus drivers can still work and the trash collectors can still work and all of these other so-called essential workers can still work, then why in the hell can't Congress get their lazy butts to Congress and work? That's what Thomas Massey said. Donald Trump said, get him out of Congress. Vote out this grandstander. I'm not impressed. I got to tell you, I am not impressed. I don't want a President Joe Biden. And I think Donald Trump's going to win. But Donald Trump is spending a ton of money of future generations in order to get elected. This is not what we, people on the right, you're not supposed to like that. You're not supposed to like them using the Treasury for political purposes. And that's what Donald Trump's doing. He wanted the Fed to go to negative interest rates, which would just absolutely have catastrophic consequences long term in this country, because he wanted his stock market to go up. I mean, we're artificially juicing this economy so that we can reelect Donald Trump to fight all socialism. We're employing socialism in order to defeat socialism. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Trump also sent out a tweet yesterday of Joe Biden playing F the police. It was a manipulated video, and he didn't know it was a fake, I guess. It was actually, if you saw Joe Biden come out to that podium yesterday and he was playing some Hispanic song on his phone, it was the most ridiculous piece of pandering I've seen in quite some time. It largely highlighted by the fact Joe Biden can barely even work his phone. It took him a minute. He had to come out and start mumbling. Hold on, wait a second. He could barely figure out how to play an audio track on his phone, but then he did, and he starts bobbing his head to some Hispanic song. It was a pathetic piece of pandering that I would hope the Hispanic community would see. This guy doesn't care about you. He's playing a song on his phone that's supposed to impress you, but instead of just letting that moment land and show what a hack empty suit Joe Biden is, Trump has to step in it and retweet it because somebody, which was funny, somebody took the tweet and they overdubbed. They took the Hispanic music out and they put, is it NWO? Is that the rap group that does F the Police song? It's clever. They took the Hispanic music out and they put this F the Police song on there because, you know, obviously the Democrats are screwing around with policing in this country. But Trump tweets it out. And, of course, that becomes the story, not the pandering by Joe Biden, not his ridiculous handling of the phone, not the ridiculousness of him head bobbing to some Hispanic music and talking about how talented they were when he got done with it. It was a pathetic moment, but Trump had to steal the gaffe from Joe Biden and take it for himself. I saw replies to the tweet that Trump sent out. He made his own supporters look like jackasses. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. This should disqualify Joe Biden from ever holding office because he's playing F the Police. I mean, a bunch of Trump supporters got put in a situation where they looked like jackasses, to be honest with you. And then there were Biden supporters on there. Oh, he did that. Trump should be charged with rigging the election. This is manipulated media. It sounded like a bunch of 12-year-olds. You got a bunch of 12-year-olds in this country selecting a president. That's what it sounded like on this Twitter feed. The founding fathers are rolling in their graves. Looking at what we've become. Absolutely crazy. On the police thing, I guess I'll do something that's a little funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, duh. Democrats in, let me pull this story up. I mean, you know, I go back and forth. I go from anger to just sheer the absurdity of this country right now. You just almost, today I've chosen to laugh. In the wake of George Floyd's death, while in the custody of the Minneapolis Police Department, the city council, nearly all Democrats, made the brilliant decision to defund the city's police department and embark on a, quote, police-free future. This is Minneapolis. This is what they said at the time. On June 4th, quote, we are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department, tweeted council member Jeremiah Ellison on June 4th, pledging to, quote, dramatically rethink the city's approach to emergency response. Fast forward. Oh, let me get to it here. Oh, these pop-ups, Zero Hedge, you're killing me. In a development that we promise is not from the Babylon Bee, Minneapolis lawmakers are baffled over the recent crime wave sweeping the city. During a two-hour meeting with Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo this week, the Democratic City Council, in brazen fashion, demanded to know why city police are not responding to the violence with enhanced law enforcement measures. They defund their police, and then when the violence spikes, they ask, where are the police? Here it is, the quote, quote, residents are asking, where are the police? Councilman Jamal Osmond said, quote, that is the only public safety option they have at the moment, MPD. They rely on MPD, and they are saying they are nowhere to be seen. Anti-Police Council President Lisa Bender claims the cops are being defiant, adding, this is not new. Oh, my gosh. You know, is this an epiphany moment? Apparently, maybe for one Democratic council member in Minneapolis it is. Democratic council member Philippe Cunningham called out his colleagues for their hypocrisy. Quote, what I am sort of flabbergasted by right now is colleagues who a very short time ago were calling for abolition are now suggesting we should be putting more resources and funding into the Minneapolis Police Department. I'm sorry, but oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This is I've referred to this country as a banana republic for some period of time now, and I don't care whether it's Trump just printing up money and rolling out programs, telling give the Democrats a bigger plan, or if it's Minneapolis Police Department. I mean, Minneapolis City Council defunding the police, and then a couple of months later looking around and going, hey, what's going on here? Where's the police? Oh, my gosh. This is politics. I've never been so proud to have left the Republican Party and never been a part of the Democratic Party. Never in my life have I been so proud of a decision in my entire life. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for the day. I got to tell you, that story about the Minneapolis City Council defunding the police and then wondering where they are has really tickled me. It's kind of put me in a good mood. And it's really sad because there are good people in Minneapolis, and not all of them voted for these nut jobs running the city. So, you know, there are good people that are caught up in the consequences of this stuff. But I consider myself a good person caught up in this two-party nut jobbery I'm seeing going on right now in 2020. No offense. I did come up with something. You know, there's been a lot of what I hear now, as I'm listing off all of these things that Trump's doing right now, that's spending huge amounts of federal dollars, that he wants the Republicans to give the Democrats a bigger bailout package. He says it'll all come back to the United States anyway, which, again, I say, well, then why not make it $10 trillion? But anyway, the idea is, well, I'm voting for Trump. He may not be perfect, but the Democrats are running us off a cliff at record speed. At least Donald Trump will run us off the cliff at a slower speed. I see this a lot. I got to tell you, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. The Democrats are probably, if we're going over the cliff, the Democrats are in the driver's seat of that. They are the ones that have got their foot mostly on the accelerator. But I got to tell you, the Republicans are sitting shotgun. From now on, instead of calling it the two-party system, I'm just going to call them Thelma and Louise. Because that's where we are, people. We got two parties. And they, at the very end, they will clasp hands in the middle of the air as they take us off the cliff. And you can keep voting for the person in the passenger seat because they're not the one with the steering wheel. But they're both very enthusiastic about taking us where they're taking us. Holy cow. Thelma and Louise, the two-party system here in the United States. All right, I'll get some of you back on my side. I have been on the record since the day I took to this air to tell you that Fox News is Judas Goat. Fox News has been there to give conservatives what they thought was a home so they could spew establishment lines at you for the last 30 years. I understand it. I watched Fox News, too. But it's not about truth, and it's not about anything like that. It's pandering. It's just corralling people still in establishment media when conservatives were fed up with the liberal slant of most networks. Rupert Murdoch is a genius. He said, there's a bunch of disaffected conservatives. We got to keep them in this scam system we're running here, where the bankers do great and everybody else suffers for it. We can't let them really rebel, so we'll set up a network and make it seem like it's really conservative-friendly. And they have pushed people like John McCain on you. Fox News has sold you on all the wars, and they are still doing it. Anyway, I've called Fox News the Judas Goat since the day I got on air here. This was an exchange yesterday. Newt Gingrich came on, and he brings up George Soros. Now, you're going to hear, this is, you kind of need to see this, but listen to the silences, okay? You can't see this, but you're going to think that the audio cut out. You're going to think that I did something wrong at the control panel here. You're going to think that your radio is malfunctioning because there's some big silences in here. They are exactly what they sound like, awkward silences. Well, I'll just let it happen right here. Newt Gingrich brings up George Soros, and your two Fox News correspondents want nothing to do with it. Listen to this.
Destroyed by this violence.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody. Paris. Right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem, and both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing is they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay, we're going to move on. Historic day at the White House. We cover.
What the hell? How bizarre is that? I don't want that mentioned. George Soros. I got to say something else about this, too. I've talked about this before. Here's what the screen looks like on this thing. I'm telling you, there's some kind of a mass mind control going on in mainstream media, and Fox is leading the charge with all their graphics. They've got a two-pane up there, right? The two Fox News correspondents there. Harris Faulkner and Melissa somebody, I can't remember her last name. So they got there up there, and then to the right of them, they've got a graphic of the hurricane, and then they got the headlines for the hurricane, latest on Sally, dangerous flood threat, central Gulf Coast surge, it's got a whole long laundry list of things going on with the hurricane. Underneath that, they've got a outnumbered ad, Jared Kushner will be on at 3 o'clock. They've got the banner under there talking about what they're talking about. Then underneath it says Fox News Alert. Why is it a Fox News Alert that we found out that over $1 billion has been paid in insurance claims on these riots? Why is that an alert? And then they've got stuff scrolling along the bottom. And behind all of this, they've got graphics that are moving around behind there to really, I don't know, catch the eye, distract the eye. I think it's brain control. I think it's mind control. I think it is. I think it's the only way mainstream media can keep people watching them. I did this story the other day about social media and what they do, all of the things that they've come up with to continue to keep engagement there, you know, the scrolling and the notifications. They say it's mine. They're manipulating you. If you use social media, you are being manipulated. I don't care. You think you're hanging out with your buddies and you're fighting the power and you're, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're being manipulated on social media. I think we're being manipulated on these news programs, too, with all of these flashing graphics. I got to get to the bottom of that. There's got to be, you know, I've searched the internet for this. I've not found stories about it, but it's not an accident because it's not attractive. It's busy. It's almost nauseating. If you have a seizure disorder, I doubt you can even watch mainstream news these days. There's so much blinking and flashing and moving around on a screen. Anyway, that's your Fox News right there. I played the warmonger Brian Kilmeade yesterday, and today they're carrying water for George Soros. Fox News. Good luck with that. It's just a part of the Thelma and Louise Theater. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.